up and bless the Lord, and that's right. For this is what we're here for, to stand up and to give thanks and praise to an almighty and everlasting God. If you're able, would you stand as we join in our call to worship? It's number 30 in your hymnals, verses 1, 3, and 4. Good morning, First Baptist Church. It is good to be back, isn't it? And to see a little bit of sunshine and not so much snow and ice and everything else. It felt like I was back in Germany for a moment here in these last few weeks, and not in the good way. As we gather for worship, we want to extend an extra warm welcome to all of our visitors who are with us today and encourage you, if you'd like to receive more information or contact from the church, you can fill out a visitor card, and you'll find those on the back of the pew in front of you. We especially greet and welcome all of our college students who are here with us worshiping today, and we'd like to make sure you're aware that immediately following the worship service, there is a college luncheon that's being sponsored by our college team. It's free of charge for students, but anyone else is welcome to follow and come along with them, and they're gathering at Occasions Restaurant in Burlington. Also want to remind you that we have our church council meeting today, and following our meal at 6:15, we have a special opportunity through Skype to talk with the Fushis in Japan to hear about what they're doing in their ministry and missions. And many of you have been supporting them now for this entire time that they've been serving, so it's a great opportunity to hear a almost face-to-face update from them about what God has been doing through them. The deacons also would like you to know that beginning next Sunday and for the next two Sundays will be an opportunity for you to share your thoughts about upcoming deacon elections. Who would you prayerfully like to suggest to the deacon nomination team that would be a person you feel like is godly, that is a servant at heart, and someone you think that God could use in a powerful way through the life and ministry of First Baptist? And finally, we have in the foyer out there, you have noticed these buckets, these little tubs. And this is for the Youth Works mission trip to Steubenville, Ohio, that our youth are going on this summer. And we invite you to think about all that loose change you have falling through the cracks of your car seat and in your couch and laying around on top of dressers and in little bowls. Or if you're like me, I just like to pile it in the center console, and then maybe I get a free Sunday at the end of the month. But instead of a free Sunday, why not fill it up? We invite you to take one of these home with you and just put your loose change in the bucket. There are pictures of, I have a little Farnham here on mine. It doesn't matter whose face you pick. It's all going to the same place, but you're welcome to pick some face that you want to support, but it doesn't matter. It's all to support the youth as a whole. So we encourage you to participate in that as well. Today, our opening scripture is from the book of Exodus, chapter 17. From the wilderness of Sin, the whole congregation of the Israelites journeyed by stages as the Lord commanded. They camped by Rephidim, but there was no water for the people to drink. The people quarreled with Moses and said, "Give us water to drink." Moses said to them, "Why do you fight with me? Why do you test the Lord?" But the people thirsted for water, and the people complained against Moses and said, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt to kill us and our children and livestock with thirst?" So Moses cried out to the Lord, "What shall I do with this people? They are almost ready to stone me." The Lord said to Moses, "Go on ahead of the people and take some of the elders of Israel with you. Take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile, and go. I will be standing there in front of you on the rock of Oreb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it, so the people may drink." Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. He called the place Massah and Meribah, because the Israelites quarreled and tested the Lord, saying, "Is the Lord among us or not?" Today, on this third Sunday of Lent, our symbol is water from the rock. As we said the last time we gathered to worship, each Sunday we are building and adding to this altar a scene of the desert, the wilderness. It's a symbol of Lent, the season in which we are reminded that life is very much a wilderness place, a desperate place, a difficult place, and that life is full of challenges, not only challenges of the physical world, but our own spiritual challenges, our wrestles with temptation, with being disciples, and with what it means to be a disciple and a follower of God. Is the Lord with us or not, we often ask. But Jesus says he is the water of life. As I was reflecting yesterday on that first march on Selma, we are all too familiar in this world that sometimes the journey can not only be a difficult one, but a deadly one. In the desert, life is water. Water is life. That if you are to survive at all, it is by finding and consuming water. Christ is the living water. If we are to survive at all, it is through consuming the living water of Christ, our Savior. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, we call on your name in this place as the one who is life. But it is you and you alone who give life, not only life, but life to the full. We, like those Israelites, are wandering and sometimes complaining. Life isn't good enough, or life isn't enough. And yet we call out, "Are you with us?" And you answer, "Yes, I am with you always, even to the end." Help us to trust in that. Help us to cling to you as the one who gives bread, who gives life, who is the rock of our salvation, the very one who taught us to pray, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Would you continue to worship as we stand and sing our hymn of praise, "You Are My All in All"? Let us worship.
Treasure that I see, you are my all in all. be seated.
Good morning. I have a question for you this morning. How many of you have a calendar that you keep up with your daily schedule in? I want to see hands. How many of you have a calendar? Raise your hand somewhere. Be a literal calendar, your phone, you know, you just wing it. All right, I am someone who has multiple calendars. I have calendars for family events. I have calendars for work events. And then I've got calendars for all these events. So this morning, I have brought all those calendars. First, cell phone. How many of you use your cell phone to keep your calendar? Nod your head, raise your hand. Okay, this is number one. Second calendar I have is my family calendar. See this? How many of you have a calendar that looks like this? Okay. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. All right, you got it? All right. Calendar there. That's calendar number two. My calendar number three is my great big desk calendar. How many of you have a desk calendar or one calendar you put on your refrigerator? You do? Well, you notice on all of these calendars, let me turn the page, busy month. Not so busy next month because I haven't got to putting everything on it. But there is one event that has placed on my April calendar. See that highlighted box down there? You see that highlighted box? This is the only event in my life right now that I have on my work calendar, my family calendar, and my electronic calendar. It's a big event. These are the events. This is the date that you want to have marked in your calendar. So, if you have your calendar with you right now, I want you to pull it out. Come on, pull it out. Cell phones, calendars in your pocketbooks, I know you got them. Go ahead and pull them out, and I want you to mark down Sunday, April 26th. That's right, Sunday, April 26th. You might be thinking to yourself, you know what? On Sunday, April 26th, I'm going to come to church. That's right. You're going to come to church, but the church is not going to be here because the church will have left the building. The church has left the building. Because on Sunday, April 26th, we will be gathering, not here at First Baptist Elon, but the church will be traveling to City Park of Burlington, right at the That-A-Way Center, and we will be having church in the park. Got it? April 26th, the church has left the building, worship at the park. Now, at 10:30 that morning, we're going to have Sunday school. We're going to have a wonderful adult class led by Ethan Lindsay. I'll be leading our youth. Our children will be led by our children's leaders at 10:30, followed by at 11:30, a worship service that will hopefully rock the park. Laura, I'm putting it on you. Rock the park at 11:30 on April 26th. This is the day you're going to be. Follow that worship service by a wonderful lunch, followed by service projects in the Burlington City Park. Now, I'm going to turn it over to my better half this morning to talk about some of those opportunities that are following during our mission projects.
After we finish up with our worship service, we will be having lunch at the park, and we'll be sharing that with anyone who's there at the park that day to participate with us. Afterwards, we have mission projects to work on for the afternoon, and we're hoping everyone will participate in that. You should have found in your bulletin this morning this sign-up sheet. It has these cute little footprints here. For the Church's Left the Building event, we're offering a number of mission activities for individuals to participate in. There are different levels of activities and abilities surrounding these different projects. The more footprints you see, the more physical ability is required for them. To make this event a success, we really need everyone to participate. We also need individuals to work at their fullest potential. So we need you working at the highest level of footprints that you can. So please sign up for the activity that works for you. I'm going to explain them a little bit. The single footprint, this is our prayer team. This team will stay at the That-A-Way Center and pray as a group for the other groups participating in mission projects. They will pray for the church as a whole, for our impact on the community, as we, the church, have left the building. The two footprints there for this project, we're asking individuals to work at activity tables near the playground and engage children that are there playing in the park. There'll be tents to protect you from the sun, tables and chairs for you to sit at. So your job will be to share the love of Christ with children through art and craft activities. The three footprints for this project, we're asking that you help clean up after the lunch service. So this will be down at the shelters. Clean up our own lunch mess. Clean up after ourselves after the service and eating is done. And for the four footprints, this is the going out into the park. There's weeding that needs to be done at the That-A-Way Center. There's also cleanup that needs to be done throughout the park. So we're going to need a lot of people to participate in that one as well. So we're hopeful for a really high level of participation this day to make it a big success. We hope that you'll prayerfully consider what part that you can play in the missions activities that day. There are also T-shirts that are available for sale. You'll get a form about that next week, but they're also here today. Colleen Russell will be out in the vestibule if you're interested in ordering T-shirts for the event today.
All right, now, do you remember the date? We're going to repeat it, okay? Remember, after I say it, you repeat it back. Sunday, April 26th.
Sunday, April 26th.
Say it again.
Sunday, April 26th.
Say it a third time.
Sunday, April 26th.
You got it. Put it on your calendars. We'll hope to be a part of it. We're going to proclaim the good news, not just in these walls, but at City Park in Burlington. Look forward to it. Look forward to seeing you there that Sunday.
Please stand for our offertory hymn. Let's sing God of Grace and God of Glory. It's number 395. We'll sing the first and last verses. God of grace and God of glory, we're so grateful for all that you have given us. We thank you for your many blessings. We pray today that we bring these offerings in your name and for your service. In your name we ask it. Amen.
Thank you.
Would you join with me this morning in a time of prayer and confession? Let us pray. Father God, as we gather in your house this morning to worship and celebrate who you are and all the wonderful things that you have provided us and all the things that you do for us, we know as your creations that we are crafted by your own hands in your image. And Father, we also know that so many times we fall short. Whether it's missing an opportunity to share your love and your name with someone, whether it be personal struggles or physical ailments that may prevent us from serving you as you would have us see fit, Father, I just come to you this day knowing that I have fallen short. Father, as we are in this season of Lent, we're called to reflect upon the call you have placed upon our lives and the opportunities that you place in front of us and the gifts that you have blessed us with, recognizing that all of this is a reflection of the love that you showed through your Son, Jesus Christ, who came to this earth, who lived a life of love and service and gave the ultimate sacrifice, his life. And through that sacrifice, we too can have true life, eternal life, a hope that you have promised and you have provided. Father, I ask that as a congregation here at First Baptist Elon, we reflect, we confess, we hear, and we answer. Father, we lift this up to you this day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading comes from Psalm 95. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hand are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down and worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts, as you did at Meribah, as you did at that day at Massa in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, though they had seen what I did. For 40 years I was angry with that generation. I said, they are a people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways. So I declared an oath in my anger. They shall never enter my rest. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Our first Sunday of Lent, we began with this table with the rock in the desert, in which Christ reminds us that he is the rock of our salvation. Last Sunday, had we gathered, we would have added this bush, that Christ is our shelter in the desert, protecting us, there for us, with us. And then today, as we think of him as the water, the living water, I have a burdensome question to ask you. Have any of you ever gone into a toy store shopping with a five-year-old? What does a five-year-old want in the toy store?
Everything.
Everything. I can remember as a child walking through Kmart and Roses with my mom saying just one thing after another, "Mom, can I have that?" That was one word, "Mom, can I have that?" "Mom, can I have that?" And of course, the answer would be no. But a kid, I notice that as a kid, the more you get, the more you want. That might be true as adults, hadn't it? If I get the G.I. Joe figure, I have to have the Cobra figure to go with it. If a kid gets the Transformer, he has to have the Decepticon so they have someone to fight with. If a girl gets the Barbie, she's got to have Ken so they can play house in the right way. And the more we want, the more we want. And so it is as adults. We have to learn this strange balance between not only knowing the difference between what we want and what we actually need, but also how to be satisfied with the things we need but may never have. Do we ever consider that? I think that something of this conflict and balance is at play in this scripture in John's Gospel, chapter 4, where Jesus encounters the woman at the well. It begins this story in verse 5 of chapter 4. "So he came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. And Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well, and it was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink.' His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of water from me, a woman of Samaria?' Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it was saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." This is a classic case of miscommunication, a misunderstanding. She is misunderstanding water. The water of which Jesus is speaking is not a water she gets yet. She's thinking primarily about, not just literally thinking about water, but she's misunderstanding his meaning about water. You see, this woman coming at noon, for one thing, we know she has all the cards stacked against her. She's a woman and Jesus is a man. He shouldn't be talking to her in the first place. She's shocked. She's a Samaritan. He's a Jew. Not only that, but the fact that she comes at noon says a lot about her. You see, the good folk come in the morning and in the evening, but the outcast has to come in the heat of the day. And she's thirsty. And she's tired. And she's hurt. And here is this man talking to her about water and some gimmick sales pitch he has about some source of never-ending water, and you'll never be thirsty again. And she just doesn't get it. For the one thing, she's thinking literally about her own comfort level. It's not comfortable coming down there every day at noon to get water. Have you ever gone a day or two or three without indoor plumbing? I have. As a new homeowner, it's not a fun thing to have to haul water in and out, to be worried about where will that next drink come from. But that's just an inconvenience. We're talking about her desire to just be comfortable in life. She's focused on that physical want to have things easier. Aren't we like that? When it comes to our life as believers, I think that one thing that could define us very well is that we are comfort seekers. We like things to be easy, normal, traditional, comfortable. And when things get out of place, we get upset, we get angry. And you can sense some of that bitterness from the woman there at the well when Jesus is challenging her comforts. She does not like it. We talked several Sundays ago about how we as Christians struggle with comfort in worship. Everything's got to be just the right way. But I think even at more challenging levels, we wrestle with comfort in terms of God's calling on our life. God asks us to do a lot of things that really aren't all that comfortable, doesn't he? He's asking us to say things we're not comfortable saying, to go places we're not comfortable going, to befriend people we're not comfortable befriending. We have challenged ourselves in 2015 with this new now mission. The mission is to go and make new disciples now. Not to just go and get church folks from other churches and bring them to our church and say, hey, look how much our church is growing. But to grow the kingdom of God, which is going to require us to one-on-one, face-to-face, tell people about Jesus. We won't do it. Most of us will not do it. Most of us in this room will never take up that challenge because it's not comfortable. You imagine those folks at Selma were comfortable? Do you imagine Martin Luther was comfortable nailing the 99 Theses to the door of the chapel in Wittenberg? Do you imagine Moses was comfortable before Pharaoh, the most powerful man on the planet, who held Moses' life and death in the palm of his hands, and God says, you know, go and say some things to Pharaoh. Do you suppose Moses was happy about it? Do we suppose Jesus was ever comfortable anywhere, much less the cross? God is going to make us do some stuff, and it ain't going to be pleasant, and it might hurt. But Jesus is not concerned in the living water with our comfort or making our lives easier. He's concerned about something far more eternally reaching. She's misunderstanding that, but she's also honestly and quite understandably concerned about real physical needs. Not just comfort, but the need to have water. As we said in the desert, water is life. To have water is to live. To not have water is to die. She knows the vitality, the importance, the essential nature of water in their culture. We turn on the faucet and there it is. She needs water. We need a lot of things too. We all have needs. We have a prayer list full of needs. People are hurting. People are sick. People are hungry, people are broke, people need medications and surgeries. We understand the nature of having those real, genuine, inescapable human needs. And you know, God will tell you all day long, there is nothing wrong with having needs, with proclaiming those needs, with lifting those needs up in prayer. But sometimes I wonder, is that all I come to God about? Is what I need from Him? I think one of the problems with the modern disciples is that often we are focused far more on just a list of needs. God, I need this from you. God, I need that from you. It's like when you were in college and the only time you called home was because you either needed to come home and wash your clothes or you needed some more money. Or maybe you needed a home-cooked meal. We see God as the cosmic Santa Claus in the sky, and we got a big, long list for Him of the things we need. And God says, bring it on. But if that's all we ever focus on is the things we need, we're not living. We're lost. And what Jesus is getting at here is that beyond our wants, beyond our comforts, beyond those things we really, in fact, do need, there is something deeper. There is something bigger at play. And if we don't have that, if we don't have that in our lives, then none of this other stuff amounts to anything. That this is the core of what it means to exist is to have Christ, to be satisfied in Jesus and Jesus alone. During the search process, when I was playing that dating game with you as a congregation, you know, where you write letters back and forth saying, I like you, do you like me? I sent a DVD of a sermon to the search committee, and I think they shared it with many of you, and it had an illustration in one of those sermons that I don't like to repeat myself, but I cannot for the life of me think of any illustration that better exemplifies what Jesus is getting at here. Did you ever watch Sesame Street? In the show Sesame Street, my favorite character was always Grover, you know, the near, far guy. And one day, I remember watching as a child where Grover was trying to teach Telly Monster the difference between here and there. That's an abstract concept for a child. Here and there. What is here and what is there? And Grover says, now Telly, you are here. I am here right now, here. But I want to be there, over there. So I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to go there, and then I won't be here, I'll be there. Watch, Telly. And so Grover walks across the room, and he says, see, now I am, well, hang on. No, I'm here. Okay, I don't want to be here, I want to be there. So I'm going to leave here, and I'm going to go there, and then I'll be there. Wait, I'm here again. No matter where we go, you can't get there. There's always the reality that we are here. Here. And even if we have a there to reach for, there's always going to be another there, isn't there? And the more theirs we reach, it seems like the more theirs we reach for. And we live our lives in this perpetual journey of chasing after there. Trying to get there. If I could just have a little more of this, if I could just have a little more of that, if I could just get this taken care of, if I could just get this fixed, if I could just have that, then I'll be there. Jesus says, you'll never be there. As long as we are chasing after wants and needs, to the neglect of our focus on Jesus the Christ, we will never be satisfied. Jesus says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, I am not suggesting to you that if we have Christ, all our needs will be met, all our wants satisfied. But I am declaring that if we do not have Christ, we will never be satisfied, no matter how many needs and wishes and wants come true. Would you pray with me? Jesus, you are indeed that living water. Help us to see that it is in you and you alone we find life. That even when you call us into the uncomfortable zones, even when you do not make all our burdens go away, even when we have a list of needs a mile long, in you we can have life and be satisfied. We call this peace. And your peace is perfect. Your peace surpasses all understanding. We seek your peace for ourselves, for our families, for our nations, for our world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we did the first Sunday of Lent, we invite you to take the Lenten symbol for the day home with you. That first Sunday, you were invited to come and to pick up a rock. That Christ is the rock of our salvation. And to place that in a family place, at the table or in your den, on the coffee table, somewhere in the kitchen perhaps, where you as a group, as a family, or as individuals gather, so that you might be reminded of that symbol. This Sunday, our symbol is the water. So we have a cup for each of you of water to remind you that Christ is the living water, that we have this living water in us. It's no mistake that it's in the communion trays and cups, by the way. I invite you, as we sing our hymn of response, to come and, as a sign act, as a statement of prayer physically, to drink and to say this simple prayer in your heart, Lord, we give you thanks for life. To take the cup home with you, to fill it up in your own home and place it next to your rock, so that through the week you might also remember that Jesus is with you not just on Sundays, but in all days. As we sing our hymn of response, come just as you are. Would you stand and respond to God's word? May the living water flow over you and through you, washing your sins away and giving you life to the full. May that water flow through you into the lives of others, bringing life and light and hope to a desert world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.